Hi, we're so happy you're here, and we are so excited to tell you about an awesome wedding planning resource that we have created just for you.
In March of 2021, we launched the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass, a digital course designed with you in mind. Any budget, any type of wedding, at any phase of wedding planning.
We spent a year creating this interactive course. It includes unlimited access, all of our templates, spreadsheets, timelines, checklists, and pro tips. Everything is downloadable and customizable, and we walk you through it step by step with video tutorials and screen shares.
We threw it all into this course. There's no way you won't get something out of it. We're so sure, we've included a 30-day money-back guarantee.
We're so excited to share this course with you and to help you plan your wedding our way.
So go to www.thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com for more information and to sign up and to purchase. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez, and as you might be able to tell, I have a head cold. It is cold here in Boston, and I am sick. But I had to get this out because I just listened to some audio that Christy sent me over of her interview with Miss Lauren Kitchens of Fancy Cakes by Lauren. And it's awesome. You're going to love this show. So to fake cake or not to fake cake, that is a good question. And in Dallas, apparently, bigger is better, as we have heard. And so there are lots of fake cakes, but they are amazing pieces of art, especially if your cake is made by Lauren Kitchens. So these are sculpted cakes, but we're not only talking about cakes here. We're talking about the wedding industry. We're talking about entrepreneurs, small businesses, particularly in Lauren's case, a woman-run business who employs only women. And Christy and Lauren, I'm a little jealous, okay? I'm gonna put that out there. I listened and I just really wanted to be in the closet with you, okay? So if I ever go out to Dallas, of which I really need to, we need to hang out, okay? We need to hang out. We need to have lots of drinks and lots of laughs, as you do in this show. So listeners, please enjoy. I know you're going to like it. Lauren, thank you so much for doing this. I hope we get to talk one day really soon. And enjoy the show.
Hello, it is me, Christy Matthews. Thank you, as always, for downloading this podcast and listening. I'm so excited about today. In a couple of minutes, my dear friend Lauren Kitchens of Fancy Cakes by Lauren, a cake baker here in Dallas, is going to be here joining me in my walk-in closet recording studio. I have it all set up so that we can both talk, and we're just going to shoot the shit about weddings and crazy wedding cakes, and also just talk about how amazing Lauren is and her career and her company. So thanks again for listening. And without further ado, here we go.
Oh, we wait.
Okay.
That's my lipstick.
Cheers.
Cheers, honey.
Welcome. Welcome to my closet. This feels a little weird, right? She came over to my house for the first time, and I'm like leading her back into my closet in the master. You haven't even seen the rest of the house.
No, I haven't seen the rest of the house, but I've seen the bedroom, and that's the most important. In the kitchen.
That's yes, the most we did important. Have our wine. We started our wine there, and I did clean up this closet because you're the
you
first
did?
Guest. I know, she's like, it doesn't look clean.
You didn't have to do that. No, that's not what I meant.
But the sound is so much better because Lance's clothes
are like a padded wall behind you and mm-hmm. saying, you know, mm-hmm. here. So we mm-hmm. had to just do it in here. I don't know that I'll be able to interview everyone in my closet.
Yeah, like, you can always pull me in your closet.
Okay.
I love you. You can always pull me in your closet.
And if that starts to look weird, tell me like it stopped or whatever, because I won't see it.
Okay, so Christy, that's red.
Yes.
That just means recording.
Recording. If it stops or a little message comes up, tell me, and then we'll have to stop because I won't see it and I don't want to lose any gems. Okay, Lauren Kitchens.
Hello.
Of Fancy Cakes in Dallas.
Fancy Cakes by Lauren.
Fancy Cakes by Lauren.
There's a lot of Fancy Cakes.
I was going to say, yes, if you Google.
Like, yeah, there's a Fancy Cakes by pretty much everyone, and I didn't know that it would be so popular.
There's also several Lauren Kitchens, because I Googled you, just today, just Lauren Kitchens. I didn't say, like, Cake Queen or, you know, Food Network or anything. So really quickly, just remind me. Because everyone listening, this is like celebrity style in the wedding industry and especially in the cake industry. This, you know, I'm just saying, just Google her. You'll see. It's like she's kind of a big deal. So tell me, it was like 2006?
And nine.
Okay,
and
that,
10.
Was TV
that was
TV Lauren.
That was TV Lauren.
Okay,
yeah.
What was that all about?
So I started the bakery in 2001, right after 9/11. It was really easy to get money because the government was just giving out money.
Sure. You were like...
and then it collapsed, you know. But the bakery didn't.
Yeah.
And then...
And you didn't go crazy. Mm-mm. I mean, she still has like a pretty modest...
It's modest. For... Because if you're talented and you can keep your shit together, you don't need big digs.
Yeah.
You're fine in 1,000 square feet for the whole of your career.
And you've had the same...
I've had the same space.
Bakery storefront the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. And so in 2008, Food Network called, and at first I said no. I was like, I don't want to do this. I'm not going to make cakes on TV. That's crazy. And
had they just seen like somebody?
They have an associate producer on staff, and her job, and there were a few of them, and her job was to find cake people. And this was, you know, I mean, 2008. Did I say 2000? Yeah, it was 2008. It was before cakes were really popular or even thought of as cool. Because
it was like every wedding had a cake, but no big deal.
No big deal, you know, right. And the reason I called her back and said yes was because since the economy had tanked in 2008, it was the first year I had seen a decrease in wedding cake sales since I opened the business.
Ah, you think more people were like going to Albertsons?
They just weren't getting married. They were just like, I'm not spending money. We're not going to do this. Let's just wait this out.
Let's see if our house.
Yeah, because everyone's getting foreclosed on and they're getting repossessed. And so nobody was having big weddings. And so I thought, oh, I'll go on Food Network and I'll do great work and it'll bring me a ton of business. And that's not quite what happened.
But you did go on Food Network and you did do great work and you won a bunch of stuff.
I won a bunch of stuff.
There's
and I did really great work.
Some Muppet cake.
Right. There is. It's all on my website, too. So, yeah, I would only do cake competitions when it involved a third party. So, meaning, so I do shoot an episode for Food Network. It's called Food Network Challenge. It doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. But I always wanted there to be a third party, whether it was Sesame Street, Nickelodeon, Disney. I wanted to be involved in the cake competitions where Disney had to approve of the cake decorator making the cake.
That seems like such four.
You know why? I have to take off my sweat. Can I just undress? They can't see me.
It's hot in the closet. Sometimes I don't wear pants. Michelle and I talk about that. I'll be like, Michelle, I have to take my pants off.
That's awesome.
Yes. Sorry.
No, but you know why I want the third party is because Food Network would, or so let's say that Disney.
To be like a theme or a sponsor of that episode.
And approval. So Disney would say, you can use our characters, but if any of our characters that are turned into cakes fall apart, we're going to be pissed.
But you wanted that.
Not at the time. Because at the time,
but you said if you,
it wasn't reality TV. It was cake decorating. Like, it was serious competition. And so Food Network, or I'm so sorry, Disney or Sesame Street or Nickelodeon would say, we want your best cake decorators because we want our brand to look great.
To be protected.
to be protected, to look great.
A third party involved, because it made the competition more legit if it wasn't just a clown that's going to go on.
Right. And for, like, Food Network drama. They couldn't sabotage us. They couldn't
make you look
pull
bad.
The rug out. They couldn't stop the timer. They couldn't stop.
Smart cookie.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I ended up doing great work. And then
we got featured and, like, you won competitions. So huge. It was like several episodes.
Started an international K career, and I was able to really build up a name. And honestly, what it helped with is building my craft. And I got better and better and better and more talented. And then from those cake shows like that, it created a demand with the client to want sculpted cakes.
Right.
And I'm like, now almost, I can do it.
What, more than half of your stuff is, like, pretty...
I'd say half of
design, it's... design, art...
pretty tough stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
And you teach a lot now, or this...
I used to teach
TV
a lot.
TV stuff led to YouTube videos, and, like, you can look up Lauren Kitchen's buttercream. I saw that.
You can watch me make modeling chocolate.
Yeah, or how not to make it. I saw one of those. You must have given some sass on that episode. And, like, seminars, did you get invited
to? Yeah, I'm a public speaker and teaching, judging, that kind of stuff. But, I mean, to be honest, that was fantastic, and I worked through a lot of... what's it called? Not self-help, but what's it called? You know, fear.
Yeah.
Just the fear of doing public speaking, or just a lot of confidence. It was a lot of confidence building.
Right.
Is what it was.
It seemed really challenging at the time, but then afterwards you were like, I'm so glad I did that.
I'm so glad I did that. But, you know, to do that, so as a small business, I have to choose, do I want to be gone all the time talking to cake people, going to cake conferences, doing all that stuff, or do I want to stay home and nurture the industry and take care of the brides? And I want to stay home.
Right.
You know, and so I think that the teaching and traveling, it ran its course, and now I just, whenever I get invites, I just say, oh, I'm not doing it, but you should ask blah blah in
what if they were like,
California.
We'll pay you twice as much as originally.
They won't.
Okay. No. So it is the same. It's like, come on out, we'll pay for your trip.
Right. Maybe. Right. And then
but
then you can sell your cake tools and DVDs, and it's, yeah, it'll be great coverage for you. It's,
and
like,
we'll,
I am overexposed. Right, I don't need any more exposure. I just want to be able to be home.
Right.
And
so you consciously stepped away from the spotlight, as it were, for cake.
Right.
Cakery.
But it stays with you, because Christy, I haven't been on TV in 6 years, and that's how you introduced me.
Mm-hmm.
It stays with you. And
totally.
So there's a certain credibility. So, you know, I'm like, God, why did I work so hard? I could have gone on TV and made a big old pile of crap, and
but
I still would have been on TV, you know?
One of your quotes was that it was like the golden age, or the end of the golden age for cooking shows.
It is.
Now they do make people look like total shit shows.
Total shit.
And they manipulate things, and afterwards you watch an edited version and you're like, I didn't say that. Why did now I look horrible? And your business could have gone in the other direction because of that. And you got a horrible reputation. So I think you were really smart about it, and you not lucked into it, but you said yes at the right time.
Yeah.
And knew when to pull back.
Well, another thing about the Food Network thing, in 2010, Food Network was like, our ratings are going down a little bit. We want to try a reality TV approach. So they sent all the we're all under contract to compete on Food Network. We couldn't go to another network, which was fine. But they sent us all the competitors an email saying, we want to change the direction of the show. So you're
tell
really
us some
only
personal stuff.
Yeah.
Or...
No, it was sabotage your competitors. Uh-oh. Yelling into
Talk
kitchens.
Shit.
And yes. And I was like, how am I going? If I'm going on TV for free, even if you win after taxes, you kind of break even.
Right.
But why would I go on TV and look like a complete dick and expect brides to want to?
Yeah.
And honestly, Christy, no Dallas bride is looking for their wedding cake on Food Network. That is ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, it just doesn't.
You told me before that, like, your business at home, here at home, once you weren't doing that anymore, and even when you were doing it, it's like maybe more people came to you. But you didn't see, like, a huge increase in the actual amount of brides that booked you?
No, I didn't. In fact,
I think
the phone was slowing down. And I think that when people see that you're on Food Network, they automatically think you're overpriced, too expensive. I can't afford you. So they'd go somewhere else.
Right.
And so I work a lot with wedding planners like you. And I was talking to a couple of wedding planners that I'd seen at an industry party, and I said, "What? Why have I not seen you guys?" And they're like, "Lauren, we got to tell you, our brides are scared to come to you because you've got Food Network on your homepage.
Yeah.
So you really have to dig in my website to even find that I was on Food Network because it's not important."
Yeah, I can see that.
But it is
let
important.
Let me go redo that introduction now. Welcome to my closet, Lauren Kitchens. Okay, let's talk about... Okay, but real quickly before we move on.
Okay.
Because I do watch my share of reality TV. But was it kind of cool? Like, at the time when you were, like, flying across the country to be filmed for something and you're meeting really cool people, was it, like, kind of cool?
It definitely fed a part of my ego that had never even been touched or opened.
Right. She's a monster now, everyone. Fed. Everyone listening here... The biggest ego I've ever come across, and that this is why we're digging in. No, I'm just kidding. And
I'm pretty grounded.
Sorry, moving on from the TV, I do think the reason that you book now, like your reputation in the industry, and the reason that you would book over another cake baker is because of how accessible and down to earth and mm-hmm. kind and funny and caring you are, and how that all comes across in those half an hour consultations you have with people.
That's so sweet.
So that's like, if that's, to me, that's what sets you apart. So it's interesting that you actually have to feel like you have to fight just to get to that point because of the, you know, of the TV stuff that was 6 years ago.
I love you. And you know, another thing too, what's so important to me is human connection. And that's what is so effective with brides, because they need that, because this is a very emotional sale.
Totally.
I mean, they're buying their wedding cake. Holy shit.
A lot of times it's the only time the groom
I see the groom.
Yeah. And we're talking about like in a traditional, typical wedding.
The gay
like
grooms,
strokes.
I see them both. Yeah.
But also, it's a lot of times it's like halfway through the planning process.
Yeah.
So they've already paid for some stuff. They're still unsure about other stuff. And this is just in my experience as a planner, I wouldn't have a client call you a year out, but about 8 months out, you know, we might 6 months even.
I do
always
three.
The fun last minute. They're my favorite. Like who you sent me.
Yes.
I came to you
yeah.
first. So I just got a client and her wedding's in like 4 weeks. And
I love them.
That
They're
came
so
from Lauren.
Fun.
She called, but the reason was because when they sat down for a consultation with you and you start asking them questions like, where's your venue? What's your style? Who are you working with? Like, so that Lauren can fill out the consultation form and kind of propose a cake to them. They had a venue, but they didn't have anything else.
They had nothing.
Like 6 weeks.
They had nothing.
And Lauren was like,
"Like this is not okay.
You're the planner. I'm going to suggest.
Yeah, please call Christy."
Yes, and then they did.
Yeah, and they and I said, "You got to book her on the spot." But the reason I'm late to your house is because I came from this huge Indian wedding. And Indian weddings, if you don't know, are enormous. Yeah. And they're a 3-day affair.
Do they have cake every day?
No, just the last day.
Okay,
just the last evening party.
What we would consider like a traditional American wedding is on the third
it's
day.
It's very Americanized, that party on the last night, on the third night. And there was no planner. And so I'm standing there in the middle of the dance floor waiting for catering to bring me a table for the cake.
Yeah, she texted me like, "I can't come. I can't leave because I haven't put the cake on the table.
I will not leave until the cake is where it needs
to be." And I was
like,
"Well, I can't somebody else do it?" But that's another part of your whole business model.
Yep.
You deliver every cake, pretty much every cake yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling my husband about you before you got here because we were waiting for like 2 hours. I'm just
so sorry, Christy.
I was telling him about you and I was like, she made the conscious decision to stay at whatever capacity she's at, or at least I got that impression. I'm talking about you like I'm your business, you know.
No, but you know
lawyer,
me.
But, you know, there had to be a time where you could have been like, okay, if I hire 6 full-time people and I get a studio triple the size of this and somebody else delivers all my cakes, you could have gone, like, taken it bigger than it is, but it would have lost
connection.
What you were talking about.
You lose so much human connection. And
I think ultimately you wouldn't be able to charge the same.
Oh,
you'd
I agree.
You'd have to charge less if you had a bigger production.
I agree.
Because you would be doing more.
You lose quality.
Those brides and grooms would not get to talk to you, mm-mm. and they wouldn't feel like you had time for them.
They wouldn't think they're special.
Yeah.
And they are, because I need to charge a certain amount, which is right in line with everyone else high end, but I need to charge a certain amount so I can focus on each individual client and still bring in enough money to cover overhead and take some home. And so I'm into quality, not quantity. Quality with orders, quality with how I treat my brides, quality, all of it. And it's time consuming.
Yeah.
And so, okay, you know, I'm all Fancy Cakes by Lauren, Food Network's, you know, big fucking deal. There's no cake table. I have to stay there. You know, and it's not like I can wag my finger and go, I'm late for a podcast.
Totally.
I mean, I couldn't.
All the way out in Roanoke.
I did feel bad, though, and I was getting hungry.
And the cake is beautiful that you passed
It was pretty.
Out. So, I hate to use the word average, but, like, because a lot of our listeners are planning their wedding right now.
Yeah.
When I call bakers, they price things out by a per slice, so we would say $5 to $10 per slice.
And that never helps people.
Yes, it doesn't.
No,
if you
it
have
doesn't.
A 60-person wedding, you get a cake for $120 because you want a big...
I think what helps brides... is for a regular wedding cake with bells and whistles. My brides never leave without putting bells and whistles on their cake.
That's like you are an artist. I mean,
that's why you would come. They don't want a plain Jane nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so I would say average wedding, 175, 200 guests.
That's Texas average,
y'all.
That's
Texas average. That's kind of small.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Michelle's in Boston and I'm from San Francisco.
Yeah.
So we're having fun with these Texas stats.
Yeah, Texas. And I'm from Dallas, born and raised. And so, I'm still like, you're having 500 people? What? I don't even know 500 people. But average cake price is about $1,200. And that's probably with a pretty modest groom's cake. But I would budget.
Oh, you include that in the.
Unless it's a sculpted cake. If it's a sculpted groom's cake, you're going to spend double, triple, quadruple what the wedding cake is.
Right.
Because it takes so much time.
So here in Texas, groom's cakes are a big thing. I think it's a Southern thing. But
yeah.
Especially here, it seems nutso.
It's crazy.
And they go from. You're doing a lot of stadiums.
Stadiums.
Right? So we both went to Baylor.
And
we want a stadium.
Like a bust of a football player.
Okay.
A bust of a football player. Cars.
Whereas
dogs.
5 years ago, you might do like a shirt cutout of a jersey. Easy peasy.
Oh, Christy.
Flat cake.
Less than
That's
10 years ago. A typical groom's cake less than 10 years ago. It was one chocolate tier with maybe an ugly chocolate basket we've designed.
And chocolate
dipped strawberries.
Yes, that's what I knew of.
And they were cheap. And they were cheap to make. And
also,
then so
they were delicious.
And they were delicious, I mean, my God. But now whenever I make those, I'm like, hey guys, look at this retro groom's cake.
Yeah, it's like 1995 up in here. So Lauren's doing a ton of sculpture cakes.
Yeah.
She's also, if you follow her on Instagram, what's your Instagram?
Fancy Cakes by Lauren.
Fancy Cakes by Lauren. Same with the website. And just, like I said, Google her. But Instagram is where I look at it as your portfolio.
Instagram is the easiest social media for me to use. I still haven't figured out how to use Snapchat. Can't figure it out.
Me either. I don't even.
And I feel stupid because the Kardashians have a handle on Snapchat and I don't.
You have young daughters. They should be able to walk you through that, right?
Yeah. But, so my 12-year-old is like, Mom, let me show you how to use Snapchat. And I'm like, I don't understand. Can you just do it for
me? Like, wait, people watch it and then it disappears
why
forever?
Would you, why
I don't
would
understand.
You?
What about posterity? Like,
I don't know.
You want something for...
But you know what's funny? And you may have this as a planner. I don't want to post anything until after the wedding, the day after the wedding. Mm-hmm. Because I want the bride to be able to see it first.
Yes.
Post it first. What have
that
you?
That should be industry norm. I don't think
it's not.
It is, but like it should be.
It's not.
So you told us that $1,200 is like...
That's like average.
Yeah. So what... Three big tiers or five small?
I would say four tiers, minimal design, maybe a fake tier. Okay, guys, we're in Texas. There's always a fake tier.
Yes,
on a cake.
We're going to talk about some fake.
We are going to talk about fake
stuff.
Yeah.
But that might have like one of them is gold and then the other one has like a sort of.
Like a textured icing or a drizzle or a scroll lace from the bride's dress.
Oh, yeah. But
nothing
like 100 sugar flowers in a watercolor painted on. You do the painted.
I do
on
hand
stuff.
Painted. Yeah, it's really fun. And then so the most expensive cake I've done with sugar flowers, it was enormous. It was
the
a destination wedding. Well,
no,
that was another one. But there was one that I did and they paid $14,000. And
it was a destination wedding.
It was a destination wedding. It's from teaching, Christy. So from, you know, if I have to go to Vancouver and teach 40 students how to make a Muppet out of modeling chocolate, I got to bring all that with me. I got to get it through customs. I need an American Airlines cargo account. Everything's... So it's like, hey, since I'm not doing that anymore...
So what was this, Mexico?
This was, no, it was in the States. You know, I think it was Midland, actually. There's a ton of money in Midland.
Oh, so yeah. You drove?
We drove it. We could have flown it, but we couldn't fit the cake into their private plane.
Oh my God.
We couldn't fit it. So it's like.
They paid $14,000.
Just for the cake.
Was it all fake? Could they eat it?
It was absolutely 100% fake cake. So the back of the bottom tier, I use a hot wire to cut out a huge chunk of styrofoam, and then I push cake in there and cover it with icing. And so I would tell the florist, don't put flowers here because it's going to pull the cake down. But it's in the back.
Does everyone do that?
Everyone who has a fake cake has the real section.
I liked that.
Cake.
I thought that was really clever.
It's a great faker. And,
yeah.
But there's so many reasons to have a fake cake or to not have a fake cake. But I think that, and you and I have talked about this, I think that the misconception or maybe the snobbery about it is a cake that's fake lacks integrity. So it's not worth the money. But it's not the case.
I don't know that anybody would go in and be like, I want a fake cake or I don't. Does it save money or
it costs more money? It saves no money. So
right. That's
so
what I was
decorating on cake or on styrofoam, I still have to decorate. I still have to use
the same icing. The hard
part for
labor.
That's the hard part for
and
labor.
And it's also
that's the time consuming for labor.
And
for
more
sure.
ingredients and more things that you have to use to make whatever the decorations are going to be. Cake is cake.
So I've got styrofoam that costs as much as my cake ingredients cost. And now I'm using double the amount of icing. And now I'm using triple the amount of space in my delivery van. This is costing me more money.
So the brides that opt for fake is because they're trusting you.
Yeah.
But you said we have to have fake for this to work.
I said there is no humanly possible way to make a 5-tier buttercream covered cake hold full stocks of orchids all the way around. Another problem we have, as you well know, our Texas brides do not like fondant icing.
Right.
They don't. And if you don't know what fondant is, it's a English sugar paste that you roll out like Play-Doh, basically. It's basically sugar and glucose and glycerin. That's it. And you roll it out and you lay it over a cake and it's this beautiful porcelain finish, but it's not very tasty.
What are those cakes called? Are they princess cakes? The little half circles that are just like, that's it. Just a little half circle that have the totally smooth, usually they're pink.
Yes.
So that's fondant?
That's fondant.
That's an example of something that looks very, very
smooth.
That's
a good example. But people down here, they literally sit down. The first thing they say is, I don't want fondant on my cake because there's no fat in the fondant. So you're chewing on this and it just tastes.
It doesn't cut as well.
It doesn't cut as well, but it's strong. You're going to spend $1,200 on a cake.
Yes.
$5,000, $10,000. You put a pin spot on it. Otherwise, the cake is in the corner on timeout.
Right.
And like it's being punished and no one's ever going to see it.
And even when you take pictures in front of it, that's with the photographer's flash, that's kind of not the point.
No.
It should be like an art installation for the entire reception.
Well, the reception is like, what do I have to look at? What do I have to eat? What do I have to do? And the cake is one of the things to look at. It's definitely a spectator sport.
Yeah. If a bride wanted a 5-foot cake, we say bride, and that's because most of the time with the bakery, she's working with just the brides. Or the bride is the one.
And
coming,
the planner is there kind of like cracking the whip sometimes for the bride, hopefully.
But if the bride comes and says, I want a 5-foot cake and doesn't need the splits or they just want like a huge ass
boom,
cake.
Boom, 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 boom.
Would you do it cake or is it half styrofoam?
You know, it depends. And so if she wants, 10 tiers and they're all stacked. So then I go, okay, how many guests are you having? So there's two answers I could get here. I could get they're having 100. Like, okay, wait a minute. So a cake this big is going to look like it serves 1,000 and you only have 100 people in there. Let's talk about proportion and how ridiculous this cake is going to look. Or, and then just one tier needs to be real because that's all the cake she needs.
Right.
Or it could be.
But they might still want 5 feet.
They might still want it. And I'm like, you know what? I'll take your credit card. Let's do it. You know, let's bang this out and do it. And we've done it. And it's beautiful. Or they could have, 400, 500, 600 guests, and it's a plated dinner, and everybody is supposed to be plated a piece of cake as part of their third or fourth course. Everybody gets it. So then you think about the logistics of the catering company having, or the hotel, having to disassemble a cake to serve 500 people and getting the servings out at once. There's no way. not even the
so
most
it might
skilled
as well
staff.
Be full it needs fake
it needs to be full
need
fake.
A sheet cake.
Mm-hmm. It needs to be full fake. Maybe the bottom tier is real, or maybe just a section of the bottom tier. But logistically speaking,
yeah,
they're gonna have wedding guests sitting there with no cake for a long time. It takes about an hour to cut 250 servings.
It always looks kind of like a butcher, messy job.
Somebody called it cake carcass.
Yeah, it's like it is like carnage back there, because no matter how, you know, amazing the chef is, he does not want to cut a cake. And sometimes the chef is the only person like available right then to do it. And it's like, I, as a wedding planner, I've batted my eyes at many a chef to be like, please, please, like on the timeline, I said it was going to be about now and there's nobody else. And, give me a knife and I'll
yeah,
cut.
Yeah.
But they still don't look good. It's the same reason why when you have like a, people have great ideas, like we want to do a dessert bar. We want all pies. It's like pies, they taste great. I love pie. But one person cuts into it, you know, or you cut it on the buffet line, and then it's just going to look like a massive.
It's going to look like Luby's.
Yeah, it's gonna
and
look
if you
bad.
Don't have a Luby's, it's like a public cafeteria with old people with walkers. You're picking out their fried chicken and their mashed potatoes and their watery pie.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, it's
a
what
pie
it
just
like.
Doesn't look good once
no.
it's cut. But if it's a sheet cake, not only can they cut it earlier, so
double
layer
tier,
rush.
Christy. I gotta get sheet cake out of your
okay,
vernacular.
Okay. Gosh, what do you call it then?
I like, call it back of the house cake.
Okay.
Back of the house in catering terms, meaning the kitchen where the guests
yes,
are.
Yes, yes, yes.
In front of the house where the reception room
so,
is.
So the cake that they are cutting, mm-hmm. it's way easier. They have more time to do it.
It comes in squares.
It comes in squares. So the, yes. So
yeah.
I think cut, overall, cut, cut. It just makes for an easier. And so you person listening who is maybe planning their wedding. With your cake, you need to consider how much you want to spend on a cake,
yeah.
what you want it to look like. There's going to be a lot of bakers in your town for you to choose from. Find a professional. Don't find somebody who's cooking it out of their own kitchen. And then you have to consider timing, because it might be why you want a back of house cake
mm-hmm.
if you have a tight dinner timeline. You also have to consider space.
Yeah.
Because we have worked with some kitchens that are no bigger than this closet. And I was cutting cake like on... balancing it like on a sink,
and these are at nice hotels.
Yeah, even like, hotels are nice venues where they're just
oh
not...
yeah, they don't have like the Ritz-Carlton in Dallas. The pastry kitchen is tiny,
so bringing a giant cake back there and putting it on their stainless steel island is going to take up the whole thing. And then what do they do with the slices that they've cut? There's plates everywhere.
It's a challenge.
Yeah, so you shouldn't. You know. And those are things like you don't think you're going to think about those things, and most of the time my bride and groom have no idea what happens to a cake after they cut
I gotta
it.
Tell you a secret. I don't know what happens to my cake. I'm not there.
I should take a picture one time. I did another wedding with you because it was at the Four Seasons, so that Lauren does the majority, we can say almost all of the cakes at the Four Seasons.
Four Seasons Dallas.
Yeah, Four Seasons Dallas. And I did a wedding there.
I have a nice little contract with them.
Yes, the bride and groom ordered a cake with exactly the amount of slices as their guests. Did you know that?
I remember that.
Yeah, you were like, this is going to serve 120. And I was like, that's how many guests we have. Because usually there's leftover cake. I know this because I eat the leftover cake.
I try so hard for there not to be leftovers.
Oh, they were, well, even like two slices left over. I mean, I worried because I was like, one person asked for seconds and I'm going to be like, nope, sorry. There is no cake left. So there was like this tiny, ugly sliver left on the cake plate in the back, like pushed to the side.
Just
like,
one?
No, it was not even one. It was like a quarter of a slice because they had plated them all and delivered them all. And it was like next to the dishwasher. And I go back there with my fork.
You
and
did
I took
it.
A picture and I sent it to you. I was like,
oh,
I got to eat your
did.
Cake. This was it. I was like scraping frosting off of that cake plate to eat. Even
she likes
bit.
My cake. And you're so skinny.
I do. I love
and
cake.
You still eat cake.
So much.
I love it.
Good
you know
genes.
What? You know what else another bride should think about? Our bride's listening should think about is it's so hard to decide how much you want to spend on a cake if you don't really know how much cakes cost. And so it's kind of like narrow down to your top two or three bakeries. Don't go to more than two or three, because then you'll forget the first one, you'll forget the second mm-hmm. one, and it's just overwhelming.
Yeah,
it's information overload. And then get a general idea for pricing, go in, have them sketch, or you tell them what you want, and then have them give you the price. And then they really need to ask you, does this fit in your budget? And if it doesn't, tell them.
Yeah, don't just scratch the whole
thing. Don't just scratch the whole thing, because this could be the cake you love, and this could be the cake that's right.
Would it annoy you if a client, a prospective client called and had some questions before they came in for a cake tasting? Or is it like, oh, that saves us all potential waste of time?
I think it's best. And they won't talk to me on the phone. They'll talk to my office manager.
Right.
And so that kind of, it pulls me out of the situation, but she knows how to answer questions like that or whatever they might
be.
You
feel like you're a selling point, you personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because getting them in front of you. Hearing your spiel, seeing your sketch.
And you know what my spiel is? I want to help you.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to, because most of our brides want groom's cakes. I'll always start with, do you want a groom's cake as well? And for the people who are on the fence, I'll just say, you don't need a groom's cake. You don't need it. Just spend more money on the bar. You don't need it, because they don't.
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't help someone to be a salesman. Yeah, I want to help them.
It awkward.
Feels forced.
Yeah, to sort of pressure somebody.
You just
want to
get out of there?
Because then they're going to call back a week later and be like, we said we wanted this, but scale it back.
Yeah.
We only want this. And
it's like, I knew they needed to scale back in the first place. Yeah. I should have just told them that.
So in the land of groom's cakes, because we were saying you do like stadiums, it seems like...
They're nuts.
A lot of dogs happening.
A lot of dogs.
And fish and like animals. So
you know what I heard one time, Christy, and hold that question in your mind. Somebody said to me that people in Dallas, it's like an equal ratio of kids and dogs.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, so it's like not just a coincidence.
They're
it's like
just
the city of Dallas loves
We
their
love
dogs.
Yeah.
Okay. So
no one's ever asked me to make their cat.
Oh, yeah, that is sort of weird. I have two, like, amazing cats, but it wouldn't occur to me
Never.
To be like, let's honor my cats with
By
a
eating
cake.
Them.
So the groom's cakes are fun if you're into groom's cakes because...
They are a showpiece.
They have more personality, so mm-hmm. it's like, do you kind of get a feel for the groom? Like, what are you into? And then they say, oh, I love bass fishing. And you go, I can do a bass fish. Or
you know
do they
what?
Say, I want a fish?
Yes. The men who come in and I always meet the groom. The only time I don't meet the groom is when they can't get off work or whatever. And I send them cake home. I send cake home with the bride for him. But they know where they are. They know they're at Fancy Cakes. And so they have this idea.
It's almost like they're challenging you.
Yeah. I want the Batmobile as my groom's cake.
I'm an eye doctor. So I want an eye with veins in it. Like they want to like throw it out there to throw the gauntlet down. And you'd be like, yeah, I can do that.
I'm a dentist and I want a tooth.
I'm a cardiac surgeon.
Oh my God, I've done that.
Have you done that?
Yes.
You've done like a biological heart?
A biologically correct heart.
What?
Oh my God. Yeah,
oh my God.
It's a heart surgeon.
I'm going to post it.
I need to do that. No, but the people wanting sculpted cakes, they have done their research. They've studied. They don't get, like I'll say, okay, this will be, you know, $2,000. I go, okay.
Have you done
That's what I want.
Celebrities, or I saw a Donald Trump bust cake recently that like looked really very...
And I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, have you...
The last celebrity I did, there's not many celebrities in Dallas. So, you know, you if you're here for a long enough time and you're in the high-end industry, eventually you're going to do something for Don Henley of the Eagles.
Okay,
eventually,
what about
Jerry Jones, we do cakes for Jerry Jones. That's a difficult client because you're only working with assistants. It's very last minute. And it's not, billionaires are not great clients because they don't like to spend money. They are billionaires.
That's why they're billionaires,
yeah,
is what
so,
a conservative, fiscal conservative would say.
Yeah.
Because they don't spend money on stupid
no.
stuff, but they do. He's buying like stadium cakes and
well he's bought he's building stadiums you
yeah,
know
no, I know but from you I mean I saw like if it's like American Airlines comes to you like we're doing a corporate whatever you can build a
I can do
a
it
cake plane
mm-hmm.
But what about like something weird I can hear the garage opening so it might get loud but
we're
what about
hear
like
a,
we want to honor my grandmother like here's a picture of her make her face.
I'll do a bust.
You can do it.
I'll do a bust.
Like wrinkles and all.
Yeah.
Like
in the older the better because if I'm having to like I mean, think about it. If I'm having to make a bust of Taylor Swift, That girl has no flaws. That's so hard to make. That is so hard to make. So if I'm making granny and she's all
wrinkly.
Have you
done that? Has anybody? Because you've done pubs we've done
busts.
And stuff.
We've done busts of people. Yeah.
You have done busts of people where you get a picture.
I get pictures. Of, well, I make them come in and then I have them pose for me. So what? I have a 360 kind of way to photograph them.
That is awesome.
If they have the budget, I'll do it. And so everyone's going, what's the budget? And I would say a bust would run anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000 depending on what they wanted. But we're talking about, listen, if your wedding budget is $40,000, you're not going to even want a bust cake. That's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, these are people who spend more money on their weddings than I did on my home.
Right.
But if you think about those people, they are creating so many jobs by having a wedding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anybody who has a wedding is creating jobs.
Yeah. Weddings are where it's at. And, you know, when like you said, when the economy tanked, you got less inquiries just across the board.
Everyone got less. Dallas went down 25% in the wedding industry.
Have you heard about what's going on in India? Uh-uh. There's like some national crisis happening in India right now with monetarily. It'd be like our government saying, give us any bills less than $10 in a week aren't going to be good anymore. So people.
What?
Like, yeah, something like that. So people who have smaller bills, they are going to go away. They're going to move to this like
and we still have a penny? We still have pennies.
We say, okay, so see, we like put our feet down when they say we're going to take away the penny. But in India, the number one thing that people are canceling the most, I was reading, is weddings. Because they can't pay. You know, people save up money and weddings are such a big deal in like the whole village.
Especially in India. Those are 3-day affairs.
Yes, and they wait to pay all their vendors and the team. Maybe it's in small bills. I don't know how, you know, but people are just like pulling. We just can't do it.
Oh my
God. We can't
do
weddings. So, I mean, that goes, you know, it goes to show you, like, if weddings are doing well, we're all doing
well. We're all doing
well. Yeah, because it's a reason to celebrate, but it's not necessary.
It's not. It's a luxury.
You can just go to City Hall.
Yeah. It's a luxury to have a wedding.
Yeah.
And so because they come in, Christy, and they really don't need to spend $1,200 on a cake, I am going to be kind and nice and generous and fun because this is something they don't need.
Right.
It's something they want. So they're going to be treated special.
And the experience matters.
The experience matters.
In your experience, their experience matters.
And even if it's just the bitchiest, craziest bride, I'm still going to do the best work I can do. I'm still going to deliver the cake myself.
Yeah.
Because then it just becomes about, if I can't make her happy, I need to be happy with the cake. And I need to be happy with the work. And I need to be happy with the business. And I don't have the luxury of chucking it all. And, you know, so it's not as fun and glamorous as it looks to be in the wedding industry. It's a lot of work, and we all work so hard because most of us are small businesses.
Yeah. Lauren's owns her business, and you have since 2002.
Well,
when did you start it?
I started illegally out of my parents' kitchen in 98.
Holy cow.
I know.
But
right
now,
out of college.
After much to do and just life ups and downs, now you're a single mom running your own business.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, woman owned, operated, you only have female employees. Right?
Only female
employees.
They're
in there. I mean, it's all of this is like just makes it one step harder, I think, to succeed in business and just like to keep, you don't have like the cushion of a husband with a pension.
Yeah, never had a sugar daddy.
Yeah. A sugar daddy. That's never be a pun for you and your cake business.
So, I think a lot of people think I'm a sugar mama, but I'm not. But you know, I think the entrepreneur is. We don't know how to function if we're not swimming upstream.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know. It's just like we just keep going upstream. And
there are so many perks of being your own boss, but there are huge cons. Yeah, which is like you're kind of never off.
Well, buck stops here. And so if anything goes wrong, it's on you.
Have you had anybody come back after the fact and be like, we're taking you to small claims court?
I did. In 2006.
These are the things that keep me up at night as a small.
Listen, don't worry about it. Because if somebody is angry enough to threaten small claims court, it's ridiculous. So in 2006, I had a mother call and she said, the blue ribbon.
I found a knife in the cake. There was
she
rat
didn't
poisoning.
Say that. No. She said.
You dropped it.
No.
Everybody hated it.
The blue ribbon on my daughter's cake wasn't blue enough. And I'm going to take you to small claims court.
Oh, Holy shit.
I was like, what judge? You're going to pay to take me to small claims court? What judge is going to even listen to this? Yeah, no.
Saying, like, we want our money back?
We want our money back.
Full.
Yeah.
You made us a cake that we signed a contract for.
And we ate.
And we ate the cake.
And you welcomed me as I walked into the church, little venue, and you welcomed me and we talked and I left.
Oh, so she's a shyster. She's a total shyster.
She's a shyster. There's buyer's remorse. There's a certain amount of buyer's remorse for people who can't afford the wedding that they just paid for.
Yeah, but if you ingest the product.
But she couldn't afford her daughter's wedding. So it's kind of like, let that pull you back into reality. If you're throwing a $50,000 wedding for your daughter and you only have $25,000, make her stick to the $25,000.
Holy cow. And the cake is not what put you over. Let's be real.
The cake, people spend more on their invitations than they do on their cake.
Yeah.
Unless it's a big sculpted cake of your grandma.
Yeah. I'm going to make you make a cake of my grandma. She's so awesome.
Is she here?
She's nearby, yeah.
Is she really?
Yeah, that was part of, like, moving here was, like, it's not just my parents. There's a pretty good extended family around here.
We need to go see her after dinner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're planning on going to dinner after this where we're planning on drinking a lot. Lauren's spending the night here tonight.
It's the
slumber party.
This is the greatest thing about divorce is shared custody. So I have this weekend off.
Yeah, I was thinking
about that. I only have two weddings this weekend, which is nothing for cake. It's just the cake. And I get to be with my favorite girl.
I'm so glad. I want to end with this because I was thinking I can't remember exactly how our love story started. I knew of you and then I met you, I think at the Four Seasons.
At Four Seasons, yeah.
And then we worked together and it wasn't until Andrews and Richard, which was the first gay couple I did in Texas here.
Yeah. That was the first legitimate gay wedding I did where there's a marriage license.
Yeah, it was on New Year's Eve and a marriage equality happened June that year and they called me right after that. And it was this perfect fit and I remember thinking how cool you were in the consultation and that you're like such an open book and you gave us a discount and she wrote love wins on the contract. And the cake was gorge and amazing.
Oh, I love that cake. It's on my website.
And they were a little over the top and they were. I mean, they weren't crazy budget, but they were over the top in their aesthetic and the cake was really important to them.
Yeah,
that was going to be their big piece.
Mm-hmm.
And you nailed it. But that was sort of the start of our
Well, that's when we started to trust each other.
Yeah, less vendor.
Because we took care of each other.
Friend.
And yeah.
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 But I feel and I was going to introduce you this way. Instead, I went the TV route. But
most people do. And then they're like, oh, yeah, that's not important.
I feel I'm introducing my friend. And when I talk about you, that's why Lance asked me so many questions. I talk about you like my friend that I've known forever.
Because we connect.
But that's the thing. I can't pinpoint a time where it was oh, we have a real, now we have that conversation. Now we got that big one out of the way. Now we have a real friendship. It's being an adult is shitty and hard a lot of the times. But part of the reason it's hard is because it's hard to make friends as an adult, especially women, I think. Maybe men struggle with this too. I mean,
I don't think men struggle with much because they can compartmentalize and shove it under the rug. They struggle with their women.
It's like,
but Christy, I could not see you for 3 months. I could be going through hell and I could call you up and say, I need you. And you'd be there.
I would, but of course I would. But also you don't just hang out with a lot of, you don't socialize, hang out with outside of things.
I'm pretty introverted, actually. It drains me to.
I get it. You have your own business. You have two kids. But when I get you out to dinner, it feels okay, finally this is happening. And we'll talk for 4 hours.
Christy, the last time I went out for dinner was with you.
Oh, really? We got to go back to that place.
Yes.
That volcano thing we had was
the volcano sushi.
Whatever, that was so amazing.
So good.
Anyways, I'm totally in love with you, and
I love you too.
Stoked that you could do this with us.
This
today.
Is my first podcast.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be really great, and then we'll probably follow up another one 6 months from now.
Okay,
and I'll be more official with my more official questions about.
Well, by then I can maybe some crazy cake has been made that's not the bust of your grandma, and then we can talk about that.
Yeah, and pointers. You know, I mean, we went over budget on this one and what a client needs to kind of know by the time they taste a cake, but what you need to know, listening, is if you're in Dallas and you need a wedding cake, you need to go to Fancy Cakes by Lauren and meet Lauren and. You're going to love it. She's the best.
Aww.
So thanks for doing this with me
today.
Thanks,
guys. And everybody, good luck planning your wedding.
Yes.
I know it's overwhelming.
It's rough out there.
And it's a full-time job, and you need a wedding planner because it's just
there you go. So that's your big advice.
It's
worth it.
Yeah, I would say that 70% of my clients have wedding planners. And the majority of my business comes from wedding planners and venue referrals. So people need help.
Yeah. If you have it in your budget, it's a win, win, win.
And you know what, Christy? If you don't have it in your budget, then you need a wedding planner to help you budget because they'll help you save money.
Even month of, Michelle and I talk about a lot how even just hiring somebody for the month of, do all the work yourself, but have somebody round that shit up at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really into that. I'm really into that part. So
I'm into your shit.
Yep. All right, guys.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.